You're listening to the Bears Brothers podcast and postgame show, the place where Bears fans across the globe hang out online after every Bears game. Now get ready, because it's time to bear down. Welcome back, Bears fans, to this bonus, special, emergency episode of the Bears Brothers podcast. Today is Saturday, September 1st, and I want you to take note of where you are at this moment, because, or when you just found out the big news, because the Bears have pulled it off. They have landed an all-pro linebacker, Khalil Mack. This is your host, Will DeWitt, and I'm currently dumbfounded as I woke up to this news, and I'm still questioning, am I dreaming or not? So to help me decide if this is reality or an altered state, I'm joined by both of my Bears brothers. I have Brandon Hazlett and Nicholas Moriano to share our instant analysis of this blockbuster deal. And guys, I just have to know, what was your first thought when you heard the news early this morning? And let's go to B first.
Yeah, so I woke up and I had a text from my friend. He's like, Ryan Pace has some balls. Mack's coming to Chicago. And then I was like, no, that's just got to be the rumor speculation, you know. And I'm scrolling through Twitter, and that's just all my Bears feed is Khalil Mack coming to Chicago. And if I could pinch you, Will, I would, because I've been awake long enough that I think I believe this now. So
yeah, I have some coffee in me, and I'm starting to expect this is reality, but it just feels like it's so good. It has to be a dream, right? Is it, Nick? Is this real life?
This is real life. And just like Brandon, I woke up to a text message to my one friend, NIU fan, Iowa plays NIU this morning. He said, Mack to the Bears. I'm like, wait, what? No way. Go to Twitter, you see Ian Rappaport, you see Adam Johns. And that's when it hit me that Khalil Mack's going to be a Chicago Bear. And it's crazy. It's crazy that we have a up and coming primetime player at the, you know, opposite edge. And oh man, it's amazing.
It's going to be a lot of fun to talk about what we expect out of Khalil Mack here in Chicago, because you know, we've heard the rumblings for over a month now, and I personally didn't think it was going to happen. I didn't think, Pace had that conviction on Mack, but we were wrong. And I know Adam Hogue was talking about on the last podcast, like, oh, so we can do give up two first rounders. And it was like that pause, and then they're like, yeah, we're exploring all options. And here we are talking about this trade a week later. So Khalil Mack, who is he? Well, he's a three-time Pro Bowler, a two-time All-Pro, the 2016 AP Defensive Player of the Year. He was 16th in the NFL's top 100. He was fifth the year before. So, guys, real quick, does that mean we're not shut out in the top 100? We have Khalil Mack. He is a Bear.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Because I know we've been shut out for quite some time. So, we definitely have a player who was in the top 100. And in the last two seasons, Khalil Mack has finished in the top 10 in the league in sacks. And for what it's worth, the last time the Bears had a Pro Bowler on defense, Tim Jennings in 2013. So, Khalil Mack obviously is very welcomed here in Chicago. And guys, let's go ahead and just begin this discussion on your thoughts on how he's going to impact this defense from a pass rushing standpoint, because that's why, you know, Khalil Mack can do a lot of things well, but primarily we brought him in to help out with the pass rush. And like I mentioned, he's finished in the top 10 in sacks twice. He had 40 and a half sacks throughout his 4 years so far in the league. 36 and a half have came in the last 3 years alone. So I'm going to go over to Nick here. What are your thoughts?
Well, this is also a guy who hasn't missed a game in his career as well. So it's a guy that can stay healthy. He's been productive and one of the best at his position. And now, obviously, pass rusher was a concern for the Bears going into the season. There wasn't a lot of depth at that position. But now you add a Khalil Mack opposite of a Leonard Floyd. That changes the dynamic for everything. You once had to maybe double team Leonard Floyd, but now you have to put that double team towards Khalil Mack. Leonard Floyd's going to free up these guys, Akeem Hicks, Eddie Goldman. The job gets a lot easier because you add such a dynamic playmaker in Khalil Mack to that defensive side of the ball. Vic Fangio's got to be ecstatic to get a guy like this in his prime. So it just changes up the whole dynamic of the defense because they could do so much more. The secondary becomes better because there's not going to be as much time for the quarterback to throw. So it changes everything.
It honestly does. It changes, you know, not just everything on this defense, but for the team as a whole, because now you have a defense that should be, you know, terrorizing quarterbacks, getting off the field rather quickly, putting the ball in Trubisky's hands more times than not. And for defense last year that finished in the top 10 in both, you know, total yards allowed and sacks, this is very exciting news. Let's go over to Brandon here. Your thoughts about Khalil Mack from a pass rush standpoint?
Yeah, I mean, Nick brought up the scheming thing as far as you have to game plan around it, but then I was watching his top 10 career plays this morning because why not, you know? And a lot of his highlight reel plays are when he's fighting off double teams. Like, he gets to the quarterback almost just as quick as if he was one-on-one. So that's just another reason to really be excited. I mean, he does it with such ease as well. So, I mean, you could throw double teams at him, and, you know, his sack numbers have gone down year by year just a tiny bit. But that's because teams are having to game plan around him, and that makes a huge difference, like Nick just said. So, but even when you watch his career highlights, I mean, he gets around these double teams with ease sometimes, and it's just, like, satisfying that we can see that on Sundays here in Chicago now.
Yeah, because without him, there's no one besides a Leonard Floyd and an Akeem Hicks that you would have to even think about double teaming. And now it just opens the door for those guys because, Nick, you mentioned it. All the focus is going to be on Khalil Mack. So now with Leonard Floyd being freed up a little bit more, Akeem Hicks, who last year after Floyd's injury was primarily the only pass rusher we had, teams are going to forget about 96, and that's a mistake as well, but that's okay because Khalil Mack is someone who they must pay attention to. So not only will they pay attention to him, open things up for the other playmakers on this defense in the front seven, but Khalil Mack, someone who can still do the damage despite those double teams. So it's like a win-win situation here for this Bears defense. And I just want to, you know, credit Ryan Pace for having the conviction and making this move because he just made a position with huge questions around it into its strength. And he did it earlier as well in terms of the wide receiver group earlier in the offseason. And now he did it again with the outside linebackers because, Nick, we're going through our 53-man roster. Neither of us were comfortable with the four or five guys that we put out there. We were like, it's Leonard Floyd, Sam Acho, and then it's just question mark after question mark after question mark. And now it's, you're pairing Leonard Floyd with an Khalil Mack, and then Sam Acho is your number one guy coming out of the rotation. And it just makes you feel so much more comfortable with the unit as a whole and what kind of expectations we should have now from the outside linebackers. So we just turned the biggest weakness on the entire team into one of the biggest strengths on the entire team as well. So for me, doing that twice in one offseason is a remarkable feat from Ryan Pace, and just, you know, pat him on the back if you ever see him again. Next time I see him, I will, because that is just phenomenal. Seriously, I don't have any of the words to say besides, you know, like, wow, I did not expect him to find a way to get this done, and he did. And on top of that, all the rumblings in the last few days is he might go to Green Bay. But now it's like the third player slash coach that we have kind of taken from the Packers this offseason. I mean, it feels good because if it all went the other way, I would be petrified. And now it's the script is totally flipped. Anything you guys want to add here before I kind of bring it on to another discussion? Any thoughts that are just coming through your head?
Go ahead, Brandon.
I was going to say, this takes a lot of pressure off Roquan Smith as well when you think about it. After the holdout and then the tight hamstring, him not really practicing, we're kind of like, well, he needs to kind of get out there on the field. He is this playmaker that can stretch the whole field, can cover everything, and I think we were going to really depend on him without a pass rusher, you know, of Khalil Mack's stature on Sam Acho's side, because Sam Acho's not much of a pass rusher. But so Roquan would have been asked, I think, to cover a lot of his side of the field. But now with Khalil Mack out there, I mean, Roquan's kind of breathing a sigh of relief. Like, I've got time to be able to learn this a little bit more and be able to get some more valuable reps in, I guess, because Khalil Mack's going to be back there creating havoc in the backfield, allowing me to create, you know, plays out in space out here to be able to cover guys that quarterbacks just be able to do a quick read and not see, you know, they're going to see Roquan Smith there and not going to throw it his way. So I think that takes a lot of pressure off of him as far as his expectation to perform.
So many good young linebackers on this team. It really gets me excited for what's to come, not just this year, but in the future as this team continues to get better, especially on the offensive side of the ball. I think this defense, we'll talk about it later, but probably might jump into the top five now if things work out. And that offense, give it some time to gel, give them some time to figure things out. Who knows? This is getting really interesting here in Chicago. What a way to cap off the offseason now with the regular season right in front of us. But Nick, I know you had a point you wanted to make.
Yeah, just I want to reiterate what you said, Will, just with Ryan Pace. He said that wide receiver was a position that you can overhaul easily. And we saw what he did with, you know, the decision not to bring back Cameron Meredith to now getting Taylor Gabriel, you know, Allen Robinson, all those guys, Anthony Miller. And then you see outside linebacker also does the same thing a day before, or, you know, just a couple days before the regular season is about to begin. You bring Khalil Mack, and that just changes the dynamic of those outside linebackers, that position. And again, you mentioned that they've been beating Green Bay in this offseason, really, you know, taking these guys away from them. And that's what you want to see. Going into Green Bay, the Bears got to be confident in themselves just with what they've done in the offseason. Sunday night's going to be exciting. But let's go into the further discussion with Khalil Mack.
Awesome. All right. So I want to mention, not only is he disruptive in terms of applying pressure and getting the sack, but when he's not getting the sack, he's still disruptive. He had, 55 quarterback hurries a year ago, which was the fifth best out of all the edge rushers. And 80% of his rushes come from the left side, just to kind of show you where, you know, he primarily does line up. But it's just interesting, guys, because not only is he going to be getting the quarterback hurries, getting the quarterback hits, applying the sacks, but he's also a really strong run defender. I'm trying to find it here in my notes that I just kind of threw together real quick. But all right, so he had the lowest tackles he's ever had for a season, 54. And for an edge defender, that's a really strong number. Last year, he had an 11.2 run stop percentage, and that was the best out of all edge defenders who have played at least 325 run downs. So not only, again, can he disrupt a quarterback, but when teams are rushing the football, he's also disruptive there as well. And he also accounted for 40 plays that led for a loss for opposing offenses a year ago when rushing the ball. So dynamic player in all facets of the game here. So flipping it from a pass rush standpoint to a run defender, I want to know your guys' thoughts about how he's going to impact this defense and maybe some other players on this team. Because when you have someone of his caliber who can stop the run as effectively as a Khalil Mack and an Akeem Hicks up front, and then also Brandon, you mentioned a Roquan Smith, who can, you know, eat up, you know, make all these tackles in space as well. And now we're also forgetting, you know, a Danny Trevathan and an Eddie Goldman. So many ways that this trade affects this defense. Looking at it now in terms of a run defense kind of standpoint, I'm curious to your thoughts. So let's go to B first.
Oh, this absolutely like seals the deal as far as, I don't want to say best pass rush or run defending defense. But when Akeem Hicks last year said, you know, our number one priority is stopping the run, and we can see that game in and game out, and I imagine that that's going to be continued throughout this next season here as well. I mean, that's got to be real scary for teams as far as how to game plan, how to run the ball, because even with Leonard Floyd on the other side, who's going to be able to get in the backfield from time to time, he's disciplined, he's going to be able to set the edge. Then you look at the other side, and now you got Khalil Mack, who's looked at as one of the top run defenders out there. They really only have to go up the middle if you're looking for a quote-unquote viable option, my Dr. Evil air quotes there. So they almost have to go up the middle, which Akeem Hicks and Eddie Goldman are there, and Eddie Goldman is just as good at plugging up that A gap as any other nose tackle that I've seen out there. So I mean, they're really making it tough for teams to be able to even pick a side or what gap to attack as far as run goes.
Yeah, you know, last year Chicago, right in the middle of the pack in terms of their run defense, they gave up about 112 yards per game on the ground, which was 16th in the NFL. So right there in the middle of the pack. So obviously this is going to shore that up just a little bit as well. They gave up 4.2 yards per carry. So everything is right in the middle of the pack in terms of the run defense. Nick, you know, you're already returning a top 10 unit. Now you're going to, in your middle of the pack on defense, I know the secondary is going to be smiling. We talked about that in terms of pass rush a little bit. We can talk about it more in a minute. But how does he elevate, you know, a 16th unit and, you know, run defense? And if he can propel that into the top 10, how does that impact the rest of the defense as well?
Well, I mean, again, Sam Macho is a good guy to set the edge, but now you have a Khalil Mack that just further improves it. And that's an aspect in the defense where the Bears could have gotten better last season. And now you get more, you get a Khalil Mack that's going to obviously jump the numbers up for that Bears defensive standpoint at that. So how it makes it better, again, you don't have to necessarily rely on the middle linebackers as much to get, you know, the flow to whatever side the ball is going to, because you can rely on those edge guys. Khalil Mack's a guy that you can just rely on. He's not going to lose his assignment. He knows how to win the one-on-one matchups. So it just, again, like we've said, makes everybody's job easier. For a Roquan Smith, who's, you know, going to be a little smaller guy, Dan Trevathan, known as smaller inside linebackers, makes their job easier because they can then utilize their speed to just maybe make up the wrap-up tackle, anything like that. So Khalil Mack, a game changer on that side of the edge, and most likely he's going to be on the edge where Akeem Hicks is at.
Right.
So, again, that is not something as an offensive lineman. You see Akeem Hicks, Khalil Mack, maybe Dan Trevathan, Roquan Smith. As an offensive lineman, you're just shaking your head like, all right, let's see how this play goes.
Yeah, it's going to be real interesting. Now, real quick, I want to mention something else here because this just dawned on me. Getting back to the pass rush standpoint of this, guys, I want to know your thoughts. Do we have three players who can potentially finish with double-digit sacks with Floyd, Hicks, and now Khalil Mack?
I believe so. If Floyd can stay healthy, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, Floyd's health is going to be key to him getting double-digit sacks, but I think it's definitely possible.
It's interesting because again, I know Floyd, he hasn't got there yet, and he's been close, and we'll see if he can put together a full season, if he can do it. But Akeem Hicks is someone who's always been like right there as well. And now you bring in Mac. I mean, it's really, if we have three guys who finish in double digit sacks, this is going to be a top five defense. There's just no other way you can cut it if that's going to happen. Plus, we still haven't even mentioned the linebackers. I haven't talked about, you know, John Bullard, Roy Robson Harris, a little bit of Eddie Goldman so far. So everyone here is going to get benefited from this addition. But guys, I want to ask you, out of all the players on defense, who's going to benefit from this trade the most? I know that's a very tough question before we actually see Mac out there in uniform and in game situations, but I'm curious your thoughts as we're kind of projecting forward here. What Bears defender is going to benefit the most from Khalil Mack's now appearance or presence on this Bears defense? And let's go to Brandon first, because he looks very deep in thought.
I am. I'm kind of torn. I think it's going to be Leonard Floyd, because he was the guy that teams. Yeah, I know, Nick, I'm sorry. He's always the guy that the teams had the key on, because was prior to Khalil Mack coming, the best pass rusher that the Bears had as far as outside linebackers go. So edge guys are always looking at Leonard Floyd. How do we game plan against him? We know he's been able to make plays, and they, you know, when he's healthy, for the most part, he makes his impact known, but still struggles from time to time, because he's being double teamed. But now there's obviously Khalil Mack on the other side, and now all the attention has to go there, which leaves Leonard Floyd one-on-one, which we know more times than not is a matchup that he's going to be able to take advantage of. So I think Leonard Floyd definitely is the one guy that benefits the most from this trade.
What about you, Nick?
You know, I'm going to go with Akeem Hicks, because a lot of the pressure was on him. Double teams, everything. He had the game plan against Akeem Hicks because he was the most consistent Bears defensive player last season, even before that. So now you add Khalil Mack, and now Akeem Hicks' job gets so much easier. He's going to go up the middle. He's going to be able to get those one-on-one matchups. And Akeem Hicks has been a guy proven that he can take on double teams and win that matchup. And Khalil Mack's the exact same guy, even to maybe a better extent now. So I think Akeem Hicks' job just gets so much easier. And easily could have been, we could have said the linebacker to Leonard, you know, Leonard Floyd's another good one. But I'm going to give it to Akeem Hicks. So his season, I just expect even more from him, because now he's playing with a Khalil Mack.
Go ahead.
Can you imagine a stump move that features Khalil Mack and Akeem Hicks?
Aaron Rodgers' face right now has just got to be like, you know, with that gif where he has the pad or whatever and throws it down on the ground, just looking at it. That's exactly what he's going to look like come Sunday night.
You mean the gif?
The gif, gif, whatever you want to pronounce it.
I just wanted to throw out my side of the argument there. But no, I bet you ever since Akeem Hicks, probably every single Bear actually, but Akeem Hicks found out about this news, a smile has not left his face, because his season just got so much easier in front of him. It's going to be a sight to see, especially what you said, Brandon, about the stunts between those two. You can get real creative in how you want to, you know, deploy both of those pass rushers. It's going to make for some interesting football coming up here in Chicago. But guys, looking at Oakland real quick, you know, in there, or while there, I should say, Mac was never really surrounded by a good unit. And now he's joining this top 10 defense. And of course, I mentioned this earlier, this is a defense that finished already seventh in sacks a year ago. I want to know, we already talked about how he's going to impact some of these other players on this defense. But now let's look at it from Mac's perspective. How does joining a defense with already some really strong talent surrounding him just going to enhance his game? Because obviously he was pretty damn good in a subpar defense. How's he going to fit in a defense that's already really strong? And Nick, I want to go to you first.
You know, a lot of the time I feel like that Mac has had the pressure on him, and I think he thrives in that, having the pressure on him to make a play each and every down. But now that pressure gets spread along the entire defense to make plays, not just him. And I know that he's going to want that pressure on him, but Mac is just a guy that now being added to a group that has a lot of playmakers around it. Again, it just enhances everything that happens there. Just from Vic Fangio's defensive, like his perspective, he can do a lot more with it. Obviously, Sam Acho is a viable player, but he wasn't a game changer like Khalil Mack is. So coming to a defense that already has a lot of weapons, it just makes, again, it's the theme of the show. Like, it just makes everything easier for him.
Yeah, I mean, for everyone on this defense, their jobs just got a little bit easier, no matter which way you spin it, which, of course, it's that kind of symbiotic relationship that can really take this defense to the next level. And I think that's why Pace went out here and made this trade. But let's go over to you, B. Anything you want to add?
Yeah, there was on Twitter, I wish I could give credit to the guy, but he was saying that how an ex-Raiders coach said that he's just an A-plus guy, works hard on and off the field, and you're getting what you're paying for, and he's going to be the highest defensive paid player from what I've seen. this year. So he's going to bring so much competition. Everything's going to get easier for everybody, but he's going to bring so much competition as well, because Leonard Floyd's probably look at him and go, well, if he's going to bring that much attention, then I can obviously improve my craft, and then we'll just be so much better. And Akeem Hicks is going to do the same thing. I think they're all going to want to improve and try and beat the guy that gets the most sacks on the team. I think that'd be a really cool competition to have between those guys. Who ends up with the most sacks? I bet that gets really competitive. And Khalil Mack, from the sounds of it, isn't a guy that's going to want to back down from any sort of competition. So if there's that going on in the locker room, I think it's going to be a really fun year on defense.
Yeah, that's actually a really great point that you bring there. We're talking about earlier throughout the show how he's going to impact like a Leonard Floyd in terms of, like, you know, schematically, after everyone's focusing over on 52. I'm assuming he'll wear 52 over here in Chicago. And, you know, with the less attention on Floyd, he should be able to, you know, get into the backfield just a little bit easier. But that's a great point that you bring up in terms of Khalil Mack should be a great teacher, a great role model for someone like a Leonard Floyd to learn some, you know, additional pass rush moves, to learn to craft just a little bit better. So for someone who's already mastered it and a Khalil Mack, for Leonard Floyd to have him to learn from, I think it's going to be, you know, hugely beneficial for Leonard Floyd's future as well. So that's a really great point that you bring up there. So, and you also mentioned, this is already in my notes, but I want to kind of bring it on now since you already brought it up. Mac, he's an A-plus kind of guy. He's a high character. He's someone who is always, you know, voted a captain while in Oakland. And I want to know, how do you guys see him fitting in this already tight-knit locker room that the Bears have, especially on defense? Let's go to Nick first.
Yeah, and he was known as a leader, the leader of that Raiders team. Even though Derek Carr is there being obviously a quarterback, he was a leader there. And the players, I was just watching videos earlier this morning saying that he really changed this franchise. So you're bringing a guy with that character, that those natural leadership abilities, and add that to a defense that already has a couple of leaders in Akeem Hicks, Danny Trevathan, and we hope Roquan Smith becomes that guy. But you add a lot of these, I guess, alpha dogs, and, you know, that's a good thing. You're adding all these high character guys that have, you know, produced, and that's what you want to see. Khalil Mack being a guy that, you know, rejuvenated that Raiders franchise. Now you add that to Chicago. And again, that's only going to enhance everybody else, because look, I did this there. Bring that here to Chicago. Good things are going to happen.
What about you, B? Anything you want to chime in with?
Yeah, I don't think you want too many leaders. You know, I think you can kind of get some heads to butt, and that could create some conflict issues. I don't see that being an issue. I think that Akeem Hicks is, you know, being the more vocal guy on the defense, is going to be able to accept Khalil Mack and all these opportunities with open arms. And I think he would be the one that would resolve any sort of alpha dog conflict there that you're talking about, Nick, if foreseen any, because you get too many in a room and I could kind of see there being problems. But for the most part, I think all these guys are gonna be so open-minded about, you know, looking around at each other and being, look at this room, there's so much talent here, let's just go and get it. Mm-hmm. You know, that's ultimately what I see happening, is Akeem Hicks just taking all the open arms, you know, and accepting Khalil Mack. If he ends up being a captain and that means Danny Trevathan's not, or Roquan Smith ends up not being that guy, then I think that's totally fine, because Khalil Mack is absolutely suited for that position.
It'll be interesting to see how that plays out, really. And for me, it'll depend on their perspective in the locker room, because they can look at it, you know, in terms of like having all these, we can call them alpha dogs, and that apparently is going to be the term that we're going to throw out throughout the show. But if you're going to have all those leaders on defense, you can either be selfish about it and like, I want to be the guy, or we can all be the guys for whoever it needs to be. And if we can be a stronger leaders collectively, I think that would be the best, you know, in the best interest for this Bears defense moving forward. Yes. And I believe that's going to be the mindset. I think Vic Fangio kind of preaches that. Matt Nagy kind of preaches that as well. You know, for the betterment of the team, you know, be you, number one, of course, be your best self, because that's what makes things, you know, special. Your uniqueness is what makes you, which of course I love. And I think if they all kind of, you know, focus on that, I don't see really any issues, because he's a high character guy. He's not someone, you know, who's a little bit selfish, a little bit conceited. He's someone who is out there for his teammates. And I think you have that across the entire Bears roster now. And we've been talking about it for years with Brian Pace bringing in some high character guys, especially more so this offseason, guys who are not just great players, but also great people off the field. And I think, you know, we've been doing that enough now where it's going to start to show. I think you're going to really see the brotherhood on this team really take some giant steps, especially now with Mac's presence. I already felt it this offseason, so now it just kind of takes that next step. So with all of this, I'm curious why I want to take this conversation. Do you guys have anything you want to mention? Because, you know, we're processing a lot of information, of course, as we're going throughout this show, because I didn't expect to have this bonus episode on a Saturday. I'm not complaining one bit, but it was not what I expected to do when I woke up this morning. I was actually planning on taking the kid to the park. I still will after the show, but that was like my first thing. It's like, let's go to the park before it gets too hot out. Enjoy a little bit of this holiday weekend. But what about you guys? Anything you want to take this conversation? Because there are a few other elements we could take it.
I think it just shows that Ryan Pace, the Chicago Bears, they're serious about winning right now. You know, this is not just obviously bringing in a whole bunch of new pieces this season. It's going to take some time to gel, but you had a guy like this, you know, giving up what they gave up. We still don't know the exact, but 2 first-round picks seems like what it is, and then maybe a little bit more. But it shows that the Bears are serious. This is not going to be a team that just, you know, starts to, you know, up and coming this season and, you know, maybe miss the playoffs. This is an addition that now maybe we're looking at 9-7, 10-6. They're going to December football is going to be meaningful for the Chicago Bears this season. Let's just say that. I think they're going to be in primetime position with a Khalil Mack addition to make a run somewhere. Maybe not, you know, winning the division yet, but they're going to be close.
In prime time position with the Khalil Mack addition. That's some serious stuff you got going over there, Nick. I like that a lot. That's a great point. Let's actually talk about this real quick. Let's talk about what they gave up and how they feel. Because personally, we don't know exactly what it is yet. It's going to be a lot. And of course, they're going to pay him a ton of money to secure him in Chicago. But let's just focus on the 2 first-rounders because that's what we know for sure. And I'm curious your thoughts on it because personally, I'm okay with it. Of course, you want to keep as many first round picks as possible. But I think Khalil Mack has enough talent that warrants 2 first-rounders. I think he has more talent, and he's going to impact this defense or this team more than maybe the 2 first-rounders would here in Chicago. So for me, I'm okay with it because he's going to be on this defense for the next 5-6 years plus, and it's going to be, you know, you're not going to have to worry about a Khalil Mack. And I think, like you said, Nick, it proves they want to win now. And I think all the offseason moves that we have made here in Chicago, from Matt Nagy to every single coach afterwards, to all the, you know, free agent acquisitions, to how he drafted this year, being aggressive, trading up in the second round to go get your Anthony Miller, I think they have proven time in and time out that they do want to win now, and they believe they can. And the confidence that they have in this and the conviction they have to go out here and make these moves makes me confident as a fan. I'm the most confident in this team I have been in over a decade, and I'm glad to be doing this show now for our 4th year because I think if this would have been our 1st year, we wouldn't have even been nearly as ready for what's to come. And now we've had, you know, we personally have our feet wet. But since our time on the show, I think it's a complete 180 how I feel about this team. I've never been so confident in the direction of this franchise in a decade, maybe plus, that I don't even know words for it, which, of course, is a good thing. If I don't even know how to feel personally yet in terms of, like, my excitement level, that should speak volumes to all of our listeners because I'm always the optimistic one. I am overly optimistic now in probably the best way possible. But what about you, B?
Yeah, I'm 100% on board with you. I woke up this morning and I'm timid to, you know, before today I was timid to say that the Bears are even going to reach 500. Still, you know, the outside linebacker is going to be a key position this year as far as getting the quarterback. And I wake up this morning, I'm like, this is a plus 500 team now. And I feel confident saying that. I have no issue saying that. When we did the schedule breakdown, you know, I said those first 4 games are going to be iffy. But now I'm just 100, like, totally confident that we can win a majority of those 4 games. We can win the first quarter of the season, and that's really going to set the tone. And I think that they can absolutely do that. But even giving up the 2 first-rounders, it's something that strikes me as, you know, that's okay because you look at who the core guys are for the Bears so far. You know, Tariq Cohen, Eddie Jackson, Adrian Amos, Eddie Goldman. Nick Kwiatkowski we could throw in there. I mean, those 5 guys were not drafted in the 1st round, you know, so I'm okay with giving up those 2 first-rounders. That doesn't hurt me any. Aside from Mitch Trubisky, Roquan Smith, and Leonard Floyd, those guys are all taken in the 1st round. Good talents, don't get me wrong, but we're not missing anything by giving away those two because a lot of good talent has come out of these late early rounds, mid-round kind of draft picks. So I'm okay with not having those 1st-rounders.
I want to say we're not missing anything. We are still going to miss out on some first-round talent. But I know what you mean. I know what you're getting at.
Well, and then even when we look at the depth of the positions, I mean, what's our next need?
That's my point, too. I wanted to bring up, like, you look at the, you know, every year, you're going like, but if we didn't get a Khalil Mack, we're looking in the 1st round looking for another edge guy.
Oh, absolutely.
Now we don't have to worry about that. So maybe you just say there's that 1 first-round pick right there. Then you project out to the future on both sides of the ball. Maybe offensive line is a spot where you're wondering maybe we can use a 1st-round pick. But at all phases of the game, offense and defense, any position, there's not one that I say we need a 1st-rounder there to overhaul, you know, the unit whatsoever. And again, this is the NFL. Things change rather quickly. But at least from our standpoint right now, I don't see a position that you would need a 1st-rounder for a few years. So, and I believe Pace sees that as well. That's why he was comfortable making such a move like this. So. Right. Yeah, that's a really good point there as well, that we have the depth. We have some core guys, and of course, we're going to have to pay some of these guys coming up here too, which, of course, max contract. When we find out that, we can talk about how that's going to affect the cap. I know with the new CBA coming up, it's going to expand, and we should be in, you know, good terms. And the Bears are very healthy in terms of their cap right now, so that's okay. So, Nick, over to you. Your thoughts about what we gave up, the future, and all that.
Yeah, so, I mean, two first-round picks, I don't have a problem with that because you don't really know what a draft pick's going to be until maybe 3-4 years down the road. Let's be completely honest. They can have a good first year, sophomore slump. Third year, we'll see. The third, fourth year, you really know what you got out of your draft pick. So you give up your two first-round picks, but you get an established, a up-and-coming, the one of the best pass rushers in the league. And that's what Ryan Pace was banking on. These two first-round draft picks, you never know how they're going to go. There can be injuries. There can be coming from a small college, trying to adapt to the NFL. Something just doesn't work out. But no, you have someone who's guaranteed. Khalil Mack is guaranteed to do what he's done, and he's already been successful in the league for the 4 years he's been here, been healthy, been productive. So that's why I don't have a problem with these first-round picks being given up. With that said, the Chicago, like I said, wants to win now. Mack is here, and that's why the two first-round picks are not a big issue for Ryan Pace. Again, it goes back to that conviction that he had for him. He knows that, you know, bringing this piece could change, you know, the entire season and moving forward, however long, you know, Mack and the Bears defense stays consistent. So Mack is here. Don't have a problem with the draft picks, and, you know, they're fine with that as well.
It was funny. Yesterday, the Bears released like a little conversation with George McCaskey, the guy who we've ran into 1,000 times in the past, you know, year or two. I was upset he didn't mention us in the little piece, but no, I'm kidding. It would have been cool, though. But, you know, he said, like, I think Bears fans, you know, they've been patient with us, and I appreciate that, but I think they can see we're on the rise. I don't know if he knew what was coming up, but I definitely see it now. I definitely see the rise now. I mean, we've seen the franchise trending in the right direction this offseason, and I know it's been one offseason, but it's been a hell of an offseason. It's been like the offseason of our dreams. It's like we had Madden and no salary cap, and we just did whatever the hell we wanted to do. And that's pretty much what Ryan Pace did this offseason. I mean, he's worked within the cap, but I think you get my point. Like, they were able to bring in any player they needed at the positions. We got the Allen Robinson. We got the Trey Burton. I mean, those were like dream scenarios. I'm like, oh, what happens if we get one of those guys? We brought you bring in up both.
You bring in all the players. Well, let's not forget about Matt Nagy, who the calculated risk thing's kind of starting to pay off here, I think. Kind of rubbing off on Ryan Pace a little bit.
You can tell that these guys, you know, they really share the same vision for the future of the Chicago Bears, and they're not afraid to go out there and obtain those dreams, aspire for greatness, and they're making the moves off the field that should translate to success on the field. All right, guys. I don't know where to take this, which is really interesting because I feel like, I mean, we could talk about this, you know, in some very informal forms for hours, but I'm trying to keep this as structured as possible. Real quickly, I know we haven't talked about the secondary too much, and I want to just do that briefly. I mean, it's pretty obvious how it's going to affect the secondary, but I'm curious of how much because last year, you know, as a top 10 unit in terms of quarterback rating is only in like the 70s, limiting guys to the air fairly well. But now if you're going to get another disruptor in the pocket, how much does it make their job easier? And then what do you expect from the secondary now? Because we've talked about the front seven in great depth, but I want to talk about the back end of this defense because their jobs are getting easier too. And I believe with they are primed now to take what Brandon just mentioned, more calculated risks because the ball should be coming in there not nearly as accurate because the quarterbacks aren't going to be able to stand in the pocket. So they should be able to jump some of these routes, be a little bit more aggressive on this Bears defense. And hopefully, because I know the Bears are second to last in the league last year interceptions, I just have a hunch now with Khalil Mack, the secondary is going to be ball hawking just a little bit more. And let's go to B first.
No, I mean, you're absolutely right. It's going to open the door for Eddie Jackson and hopefully Adrian Amos to get more than one interception this year. I think that that definitely opens the door for the safeties to really play center field and on those deep balls if for some reason they're able to get one off. I shouldn't say it that way because there's going to be chances where the quarterback's going to take shot downfield, but it's going to provide that opportunity for calculated risk because the quarterbacks know that they're not going to have a majority of the game to be able to do that because they're going to have to face Khalil Mack, Leonard Floyd, Akeem Hicks, Eddie Goldman, some A-gap blitzes here and there. So he's got a short timer, I think, when it comes to playing the Bears. So if he's going to take a chance downfield, he's going to have to make the most of his opportunities. And that's going to allow the safeties to be able to jump some of these routes and say, no, you're not even going to do that back here on the secondary, because I think they wouldn't be able to make a statement as well in some of these games. So I think it's really going to create some good competition to see who's going to be able to create the most turnovers, create the most sacks, the most tackles. I think that Khalil Mack obviously is going to, you know, he's that A-plus character, and I think he's going to bring a lot more than just on-the-field productivity. He's going to create some good camaraderie in the locker room.
Brandon's really pulling for those inner team, you know, competitions this year, which I like.
I
agree. I mean, it does help, you know, them to achieve goals, aspire for, you know, more than just the status quo. So I like it a lot. Let's go over to Nick here. What do you want to mention?
Sorry, I'm just watching some Khalil Mack highlights over to my left. Got my screen split. But with the secondary, there's not going to be as many deep shots, so from opposing teams, because that ball's going to have to come out quick. That's going to change some scheme things, because Khalil Mack, like you said, Khalil Mack, Leonard Floyd, they're going to have to get the ball out quick. And when they do pass the ball deep, it's always going to be a risk. Is Khalil Mack going to get back there? Is Leonard Floyd going to get back there? Again, this ball has to come out quicker, which, again, now these defensive backs, they usually, for Vic Fangio's system, always play a little bit further back. They always do. We're always wondering, okay, why can't we just play a little bit further up, a little press coverage? I think the corners are going to be able to do a little bit of that, a little bit more this season, again, being more primetime positions to get interceptions, because that's something that the Bears defense does need to improve upon, causing a little bit more turnover. So Kyle Fuller, Prince Mukamura are going to benefit. Obviously, Amos and Jackson. So I think Khalil Mack, again, makes that defense change a little bit of things they can do now, because, again, the ball is going to have to come out quicker. There's not going to be as many deep shots, and the Bears defense as a whole benefits from that.
Nick, right back at you. It seems like Vic Fangio is kind of mimicking what he did in 49ers a little bit, right? With a Bowman, with a Patrick Willis as well. And that's, of course, when he took a defense to the Super Bowl. I'm curious. Now, I'm not saying that's in our sights this season. I'm not going to complain if it does. But do you think that he's in the best position? I mean, he's taken this defense, you know, step forward every single year. But do you think now he is being, you know, obviously this is like another reward for him for staying. But I'm curious, like, now with these kind of guys, do you expect Fangio to really show us what he can do as a defensive coordinator?
Oh, absolutely. I think now he has it all, you know, he has everything in place. He's got his linebackers. He's got his edge guys. Now we can see what Vic Fangio's defense is really about. And that's crazy to think, because we thought, you know, up until this point, it's been really good. It's been improving. But now this is the season where we get to see everything. We've seen some, you know, corner blitzes, some like little trickery stuff here and there. But I think now this is where you see Vic Fangio get the most creative, the most where he can get the most out of his defense now, adding Khalil Mack. And I mean, that's just exciting to see, because it was a top 10 unit coming in. You expect it to, you know, top five, honestly, a top five unit now. So Vic Fangio is going to have fun. He's got Roquan Smith. He's got Khalil Mack. He's gotten all these guys on defense. He's got to be happy about it.
Yeah, exactly. All right, guys. So to wrap up this show, I want to just have some fun. I know that expectations for Mack are going to be high, and that's honestly going to be warranted with not just what we gave up via trade, but he's going to have a huge contract coming his way. And, of course, he's a former All-Pro, Pro Bowler caliber type of player. I think here being in the Chicago Bears defense, expectations being high is really something that we all should expect. So let's go ahead and predict some stats here. And I'm curious to where you think he's going to finish this season. And I want to begin with tackles. And just to give you some numbers, throughout his 4 years, he finished with 59, 57, 54, and last year, 61. So again, this is a defense where he doesn't need to be the sole guy going out there and making all these plays. He has players around him who should be able to do their jobs as well, which of course will adjust things just a little bit. But B, where does he finish in tackles?
I'm going to consistently peg him here in the high 50s range. I'm going to give him, I'll give him 59 again, like he did in his rookie year in 2014. He doesn't seem like the guy that realizes, like, oh, I've got other guys around me. I don't have to make the play. This A-plus character works really hard, does all the right things, tells me he's going to be around the ball a lot, just like Danny Trevathan or Eddie Jackson, Adrian Amos, Akeem Hicks, guys that just consistently have to be around the ball. I think he's that kind of player as well, and I'm going to peg him with 59 tackles because he's just that kind of guy.
He's just that kind of guy. What about you, Nick? Is that where you're kind of ballparking this?
Actually, I'm thinking he's going to have his lowest amount of tackles, because who's going to want to run to that side with Akeem Hicks and Khalil Mack? I think teams are going to want to go the opposite direction of those two high caliber players. So I'll give him 50, which, I mean, still a great number for an edge guy. But just offensively, you're thinking, why go towards the two best players on the defense? You want to run away from that. So I'll give him 50.
That makes sense to me. All right, let's look at sacks. And over the last 3 years, like I said, he's had like 36 and a half. But they go down, like Brandon mentioned, too. Went from 15 down to 11, down to 10 and a half. And of course, He was like the only one that teams had to focus on there in Oakland. Let's go back to Nick, though, for sacks.
So, again, he was the only guy there in Oakland, so they had the game plan for him. So I'm going to give him 12 and a half, 13 sacks. I think that's a good number for Khalil Mack. Again, he's going to have some one-on-one opportunities. When he gets those, he's going to be able to win them. So 12 and a half to 13 sacks where I see him.
What about you, B?
Yeah, I'm going to give him 12. I think that he's going to be able to increase that number, you know, from the decline, bring it back up a little bit, because there's other guys that have to be accounted for in this Bears defense, and I think that's going to open the door for Khalil Mack to get a few more sacks this year.
All right, what about tackles for loss? I'm curious. I mean, that's a tough number to gauge, but I feel like it's going to be a pretty strong number, especially if they do go his way with Hicks there, with, of course, now you're going to have Mack in that side. I just feel like if teams try to test it, it's not going to bode well. So tackles for loss.
Do you have the numbers of what he had before that?
How about this? I'll give you quarterback hurries, which I know is 55, I think, last year. Yeah, 55 quarterback hurries. And then while you guys are debating that, I'll come right back to you for tackles for loss.
55. I think the Bears had, I think I saw a tweet, they had 100 all season. So that just shows you what Khalil Mack can do. But QB hurries, we'll keep him in that 50 range, but I'll go a little bit higher, 58. Somewhere along those lines. Again, if you're adding 58 already to 100 that the Bears had, that's a lot of QB hurries. That's a lot of the ball getting out quick, where the play's not being able to go to the full extent of, you know, what an offensive coordinator would have liked. So I think 58's a good number. What about you, Brandon?
Yeah, I think that since we're increasing his total sack number, that quarterback hurry number is just going to have to, you know, correlate and go a little bit higher. You said 58. I'll one up you and I'll say 59. Do the Price is Right thing on you, because I just feel like that has to be the correlation. Whether he's, you know, there's always, it seems like, with just Bears players, not even with Khalil Mack, that they're just kind of, we see and talk about it so many times that they're just a step late. You know, they're almost there. So with Khalil Mack being able to now be able to get those one-on-one opportunities, I think we'll be able to see some more QB hurries in there.
I like it. So I have the numbers in front of me. So for tackles for loss, I'll give you every single year. His rookie year, he had 16. 2015, which, of course, has been his most productive year in terms of sacks as well. He had 23 tackles for a loss. Nick's eyebrows raised, and I agree with that. 2 years ago in 2016, he had 17 and a half, and then last year was 15. So anywhere from 16 to 23 is what he's had so far in his career. So I know it's a lot to digest real fast. I mean, not really, it's just four numbers. But I'm curious to where you think he's going to finish tackles for loss. And let's go to Nick.
We'll go 19. I think 19 is a good number there. I don't think he gets that, you know, that career high for tackles for loss just because of what I said. Teams are going to want to run opposite way or whatever. So we'll go with 19 for the tackles for loss.
All right, B, are you playing Price is Right, or you have an actual bid?
No, I have an actual bid. I'm going to say 17 because, like Nick said, they're not going to want to run to his side. So I think that's going to drop the amount of opportunities he gets to get a tackle for a loss. I'm not sure exactly. I mean, he is a very good athlete, but I'm not sure how quick he is crossing the field, because he could be able to get some tackles for loss on those bubble screens too if the opportunity's there and if he reads the play right. But I'm not sure that number is going to increase a whole lot because teams aren't going to want to run to his side where you get a lot of tackles for loss anyway.
All right. Well, guys, I think it's time to wrap things up, and let's do it with some final thoughts about this trade. We've had another 40-plus minutes to digest all of this information. We got to talk about it. So putting it all into perspective, the Bears trade for Khalil Mack 8 days before the season begins in Green Bay. Final thoughts on this trade. And it's not going to be final thoughts, because we're going to be talking about this for quite some time. But final thoughts right now, day one, hour like four. Let's go to Nick.
You know, it completes a defense, and it completes this Bears, you know, from the offseason until now this regular season starting. The Bears are ready to make a big impact in 2018. Offensively, defensively, Khalil Mack was that missing piece to complete the pass rushing position. Now the Bears have somebody that teams have to game plan for it week in and week out, and Green Bay is going to see it firsthand. So it was a great move by Ryan Pace. Shows that conviction again. When he wants a player, he will go get him. And I'm glad that he did, you know, gave up whatever he gave up to get Khalil Mack, because this was the missing piece.
There we go. Let's go over to B.
I'm giddy. I'm really excited. I'm a lot more confident than I was a few months ago about this team. I'm relieved that we don't have to rely on Aaron Lynch to be that guy opposite of Leonard Floyd. You know, that definitely takes pressure off him, definitely takes pressure off other guys on the defense just because of his playmaking ability. Teams, you know, like Nick said, they have to be able to game plan for it. Kind of in the theme of the show, just schematically, you have to game plan for Khalil Mack. So I'm just really excited to see what this defense is going to be able to do. I love it. I'm excited. I'm really excited to meet with Titletown Sound Off to preview this show next week. Just interested to see what he's going to have to say, because you know this is the fourth guy that we took from Green Bay this offseason. So I'm excited to see what he's going to have to say for that, and just really excited for Sunday night. I'm ready to see it in action.
Yeah, good stuff. So for me, guys, this is one of those momentous trades, one of those momentous moments that is going to alter the future of this franchise. And we'll see exactly how it pans out, but it's hard to see how this one won't make the future a little bit more brighter, if not a lot more brighter. I still remember where I was over a decade ago when the Bears traded for Jay Cutler, and I bet you 10 years from now, I'm going to remember where I was when the Bears traded for Khalil Mack. I was laying in my bed, waking up, scrolling through my phone. Things change so fast. But no, for this trade, I mean, you guys already hit on all the great points, right? Ryan Pace, you know, pat him on the back for making such a great move, having conviction to turn this a weakness position into one of his strength. Like Brandon, you mentioned, we don't have to wonder what an Aaron Lynch is going to provide out there starting at outside linebacker, which of course is great news for all Bears fans because we have no idea what we have in Aaron Lynch. We'll see if we have roster cuts coming up later on today. We'll see if we have to mention Aaron Lynch again. Just saying, we'll see. We'll see, because who in the world knows? But getting back to Khalil Mack, he's going to someone who's going to benefit not just the defense, but this entire team. He's going to be a great locker room presence, someone who's going to embody what it means to become a Chicago Bear. And if things work out exactly how I am anticipating them doing, right, another 5 to 6 years plus of him being a Pro Bowler, an all-pro type of linebacker, type of edge defender, not just getting after quarterbacks, but being a great run defender. When he retires, he's going to retire a Chicago Bear, and he's not going to, he's going to look back at his time in Oakland, maybe finally. I don't know him. I don't know. I'm assuming not, especially how it soured out at the end. But he's someone who can really turn things around and, well, not turn things around, but come to Chicago, put together an entire new career here as well, and retire a Chicago Bear. And who knows, he has the potential to end up as one of the all-time greats at his position as well. And for the Bears to go out there and bring him in just shows what kind of aspirations they have for this team, not just now, but for the future, the years coming up. So for me, ecstatic about this trade. I don't know if I sound ecstatic, but I am ecstatic. I'm just trying to put emotions into words, and sometimes that's a little bit difficult, especially when sometimes you hear news and you still don't know if you believe it. It's just that good. It's too good to be true, which is my fantasy football name and our fantasy league guys. So I had to plug it. Too good to be true. TRU, like Trubisky. Feel free to copy it for your league as well. All right, that's going to do it for this show as well. I know we had a bunch of people watching live. I think at one point I saw 500, which is absolutely ridiculous. Crazy. I mean, crazy. And for those of you who maybe this is your first time finding our show, definitely subscribe to our channel. If you are a Bears fan, we do Bears postgame shows, which is something we've done now. This is going to be our fourth year. And on top of that, we have 5 parts of our preview every single week. So it's going to be a fun season ahead. Hope you found us and that you like the show, and just stick around with us and see if you like it just a little bit more. And Brandon, do you have a final thought?
I do. We talked about how we need to pat Ryan Pace on the back. I think we also need to pat John Gruden on the back for allowing this to happen. And I'm really interested to hear Nick's John Gruden impression about Khalil Mack being traded to the Bears.
Oh man, you are putting me on the spot. I am all congested. Man, I don't even know what would Gruden be saying. Come on, man. Right? I think that's what it would be.
That's it? Just a come on, man?
That's because, I mean, he is banking $100 million, so he's set.
To the Bears.
To the Bears, man.
Well, there we go. We're ending the show on quite an odd note. I feel weird. But all right, Bears fans, that's going to do it for this episode. This is a special bonus emergency episode, whatever you want to call it. That's what it was. I hope you've enjoyed our... Honestly, I don't even, it's analysis, but it's also like our reaction and us kind of talking through this trade as it all kind of unfolds. So yeah, we'll be back here in a couple days to begin our Bears-Packers preview. I know in the previous episode I said that would be the next time you hear from us, but hey, I'm not complaining to talk to you a little bit sooner. So barring any other unforeseen moves, we'll talk to you to start previewing Bears-Packers 5 to maybe 6 part preview here. So a bunch of episodes coming your way. And again, yeah, subscribe to our YouTube channel if you haven't yet. Plenty of awesome content in store for you as well. But until next time, enjoy your weekend. Remember where you were when you heard the news that Khalil Mack was traded to Chicago Bears. And of course, Bear Down, Chicago. Bear Down!